God will pour out the Spirit on all flesh, and our daughters and sons shall prophesy. Our old ones shall dream dreams, and our young ones shall see visions. And all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Come, let us call upon the name of the Lord. Holy Spirit, Lord and giver of life, at the beginning of time you moved over the face of the waters. You gave every living thing the breath of life. Come, Creator Spirit, and renew the whole creation. Holy Spirit, voice of the prophets, you inflame men and women with a passion for your truth, and through them you call your people to the ways of justice and compassion. Come, Spirit of righteousness, and burn in our hearts. Holy Spirit, Spirit of Jesus, by your power, Jesus came to bring good news to the poor and release to those held captive. Come, liberating Spirit, and free us from the power of sin and death. Holy Spirit, advocate, teacher, you speak to us of our Lord and show us the depth of his love. Come, Spirit of truth, live in us and lead us in the way of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, wind and flame, you fill disciples with joy and courage, empowering them to preach your word and to share your good news. Come, Spirit of power, make us bold witnesses of your redeeming love. Holy Spirit, Spirit of peace. You break down barriers of language, race, and culture, and heal the divisions that separate us. Come, reconciling Spirit, and unite us all in the love of Christ. Holy Spirit, Lord and giver of life, at the close of the age, all creation will be renewed to sing your praises. Come, Creator Spirit, and make us new creations. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, welcome to St. Phil Road. It's great to have you with us. I'm Ben Walker, the minister. And if you are joining us and you're not normally with us, do get in touch. It would be lovely to hear from you. Send me an email and let me know you're with us. We've been having our prayer weekend this weekend, 50 hours in the virtual prayer room. For all those who took part, thank you. And I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you benefited from praying. And a special thanks to all those who organised it, especially Johnny and Jill, who put so much together. We also had a worship from home last night, which I'm confidently going to say was really uplifting, even though this was recorded even before that went online or I saw it. But I anticipate that was just brilliant. And again, thanks to Wally and all those who played a part in that, in front of the camera and behind the scenes. And we have a coffee and catch-up to come after this service on Zoom. And the details are there for you. And there's also E20M available with Julie Groves just below on the website. And you can also join for a worship service tomorrow night at 7 p.m. on the Presbyterian PCI website, presbyterianislands.org, you can watch David Bruce being installed as PCI moderator for the year in an unprecedented way. There's no General Assembly this year. There'll just be four people and the technical staff in Assembly's building and a commission of 25 who will join virtually, as well as all the rest of us joining online to watch. And just as a whetting of your appetite, I'm one of David's chaplains this year, which is a prayerful support role. And you'll see me tomorrow night, as you've never seen me before, doing a pre-recorded reading from St. Phil Road. But now to our reading for this morning.
Our reading today is Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. Prayer. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Amen.
Well, of course, as well as our prayer weekend, or with lots of us praying together and often one after the other, we're also celebrating Pentecost this Sunday, when God poured out his Spirit and people heard the good news of Jesus in every language under the sun, the gospel for the nations. What would it be like for prayer and Pentecost to meet and to get people praying in different languages. The same prayer of faith, the prayer Jesus taught his disciples, but in different languages. A reminder that the faith we hold, this God we trust in and pray to, is for the nations. What would that be like, I wonder? Well, you don't have to go beyond St. Field Road Presbyterian Church to find out.
Pater imon, oentis oranis. Aias tito to onoma.
Ne vitore igoro, retore akunere amurwa, uthamaki waku uke, o ta uria wendete we, ni wikagwo guku thi, o ta uria wikagwo ku igoro.
Tus mest himmen, höjlas veri namnet, kom rutsch tut. Veri vilje tu in som i himle så är ju.
Отче наш, суши на небеса, да светится имя Твое, да придет царство Твое, да будет воля Твоя и на земле, как и на небе.
Вазо ма на молю ани на нима.
Notre Père, qui est aux cieux, que ton nom soit sanctifié, que ton règne vienne, que ta volonté soit faite sur la terre comme au ciel.
Tera Raja Mahe, Hamari Din Bar Kiroti, Har Din Hame Dirako.
Dara I Nehevu, Ein Bara Boinuthiol, a maddau i ni a'n dyledion. Fel y maddau i ni a'n dyledwyr.
Unser tägliches Brot gib uns heute und vergib uns unsere Schuld, wie wir auch vergeben unseren Schulden. Und führe uns nicht...
Nei, jebsot, renei fall faia tona, si chua fallim ne fai torvetan. Ve mos leote biem notundim, por nas putonga i ligu.
Ci demo, ka ware masu yoni. Watasu tachi no higoto no kate wo kyou mo otaete kudasai. Watasu tachi no oime wo oyushi kudasai.
Dacci oggi il nostro pane necessario e perdonaci i nostri debiti come anche noi perdoniamo ai nostri debitori.
Here's the day enough bread to theirs, and forgive us our debts, just as we have forgiven the ones that are in debt to us.
Musa titangera ife kukatatse, kuma mudipulu mutse ife qua wupayu.
Agus mock doing veka, mar a walk need dar vekna fame. Agus na likshina gahu, ag sirshain uog.
Akini utuo koe na yule muovu, kwa kuwa ufamine wako, na nguvu, na utukufu, hata milele, amina.
No nos dejes caer en la tentación y líbranos del mal, porque tuyo es el reino y el poder y la gloria, por los siglos de los siglos.
Naki ajihe. Nihi na lezi bunkegi, nike nututo, mubwa, rembe ebi ebi. Amen.
Well, if that was great, what would it be like to have a glimpse now of the new creation that the Spirit promises of people of every tribe and nation and tongue united together, worshipping Christ? So stemming from the Greek of scriptures to multilingual praise, all lifted up as one. Watch this.
Pater imon. Oentis oranis, aias tito to onomasu, et teto evaselia su.
Vaso ma
tasatio ma
volu,
minaga
se
animazioni, na mi ma animazioni, volu ma mi, na mi ma, 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 na mi niwekagwo ngukuthi ota uria wekagwo ku igoro utuhe omuthiria citu cia gutuigana na utuhere mehia maitu ota uria ithu tuhagira aria matuihagia ndugatutware magerinde no utuhurukagie uruini ni undu thamaki-ini waku ona hinya ona kugocwo amen.
Well, wasn't that amazing? Thanks to everyone who took part. You can see a video of those in full, each in turn, below. But now, as we say the Lord's Prayer aloud in English, in our homes, not only do we remember that we say it united with one another, but united with God's people around the world, in faith, to our Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, by the Spirit in us. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Well, one of those people we just saw praying and heard praying was Ada. And Ada and Uzo, her husband, and Uzuchukwu, and Chizurum, and Chinufum, and Daniel, they've been a part of us for the last year, and it's been delightful to have them around. But sadly now, they are heading off to England today. Neil Templeton went just a few houses along the road for a short, socially distant chance to say goodbye and ask a few questions as they go.
Hi, Ada.
Hi, Neil.
Thank you, first of all, for taking the time to talk to me. And people will just say on their videos of church at home, they will see you praying as part of a bigger group, saying a prayer together. And a lot of people will know you and will know some of the family from seeing you about church. But first of all, could you just tell us who you are, who's in the rest of the family?
Okay, so, like you know, I am Ada.
Yeah.
And my husband is Uzo. And we have four children. Uzuchukwu is the first, which many people will not know, because he's just around during the holidays.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the girls, Chizurum and Chinafum. And then this one, Chibokim, or more popularly known as Daniel. That's us.
Okay, okay. And I don't hear a Belfast accent. So, yet, yeah. Would you tell us what brought you to Belfast?
Okay, so, So my husband came to Belfast in 2016, so that's
right,
about
yeah.
4 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And he came to work at the Royal, and we were originally in England, and so we just came over to meet him, basically, really. So we came in 2018,
yeah.
And yeah, unfortunately, he's moved back to England, and so we're going back again.
Yeah, yeah. And it's Manchester you're going to?
It is.
So, well, is it the weather there? Is the weather better? Is that the trouble?
I have no idea.
Oh, dear.
Do you want to answer all the questions? So, it's been good for us as a church that you've been part of Saint Field Road for the last while. Would you tell us what brought you to Saint Field Road in particular as a church?
Okay, so sometimes you just pray about things and do things the way you want, you think that God will have you do them. So we've gone to a couple of other places.
Yeah.
So we're looking for a church family, really.
Mm-hmm.
A church family. I think that's good for adults and good for children also. And I think we found it in church.
Good. Well, we were glad to have you. Have been glad to have you as part of our church family
over
this last while. And we hope you find that. in England as well, in Manchester. We hope you find a church family and pray that God is with you in our search. Is there anything that you think you want to leave with us as a church in St. Peter Road? Any reflections, any encouragement for us?
Well, nothing particularly, apart from what I think is a general Christian encouragement that we should all give for one another. That's particularly as the times are now, you know, we're in the strangest of times, and I'll say I don't think anybody will have such kind of times twice in a lifetime.
We hope not.
And, you know, but it just reminds us again of the purpose for which we live. So, you know, when you have time to be quiet, when you have time not to do what you ordinarily do and running around and all the kind of things that you normally do, then you begin to think of, so why am I actually alive? You know, is it to go to work, take children to school, do this and do that and do this and do that? And, you know, the more you read your Bible, then you realize, no, that's not really the answer. So if I have any encouragement, is to say, God bought us for a price and repurpose us, you know. And he said to his apostles that he had appointed them. So we all have an appointment as individuals. What you're appointed by God to do, okay? In the big picture, it will be similar to mine, but in the specific details, it will be different. But each and every one of us, as a child of God, are no longer our own. We've been bought with a price. We are no longer our own. And if there's any encouragement I have for anybody, including myself, it's to walk every day in the realization that I cannot do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, because I do not belong to myself anymore. Someone has paid the price for me, and he owns me, as it were. Okay? And Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ on the cross, and I don't live anymore. So if you leave, see me walk around, it's because Christ lives in me. Okay? So my encouragement will be to go to the cross, remain there, and let Jesus live his life through us, and begin to ask ourselves, even when life returns to normal, okay, what does God want me doing?
Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for that encouragement for our church. And I think it's things like that that we have loved having you and the rest of the family as part of our church for bits of wisdom and encouragement like that.
Well, we've enjoyed ourselves here, and the children are not eager to leave, to be honest. Neither am I, but well.
Well, we are in a weekend of prayer, and it's been good having you give that encouragement to us. Is there anything in particular we can pray for? Then if other people want to pray for you in their homes.
We're moving to chapter quarters. As a family, we'll be needing the Lord's guidance, a lot of it. And if there's anything anybody will pray about, please just to ask that, Lord, let's see where you are putting your foot so we can put ours in it. And that's the desire of our hearts at the moment. Let God just make his way plain before us, so we'll see where he's stepping on and we can put our feet. Whatever it is, we know we'll be safe that way.
Can I pray for you now then,
yes,
as we finish?
Please, thank you.
God, we thank you for Ada, for Uzu, for Chukwu, Chirizim, Chinifam, and Daniel. We thank you for the fact that they have been part of our church family. And God, we pray that they would know that they go with our love and our prayers as they make this move. We pray especially for Uzu in his work as he goes to New Hospital in Manchester. We pray for the rest of the family as they settle in, especially in these strange times, God. You would help them settle into a community and a church family there, as they have been able to do here. And we pray you would use them to encourage others in that church family that they find. Let your feet go before them, God. And I pray you would encourage us all with those words of leaving ourselves at the cross and finding the purpose that you have for us, especially in these times. And God, just as we pray for this family now leaving our church, we pray the same for other families who join our church and move on. For anybody who has been attached to our church family, we pray that you would be with them wherever they are, and that you would be guiding them, whether they're still a part of our church family or somewhere else. Thank you, Ada, for your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for letting us out being your guard.
Thank you.
Alongside this prayer weekend, I thought it might be helpful to spend a little bit of time in our service today and over the next couple of weeks thinking about prayer. And from the Lord's Prayer that we've just wonderfully heard in so many languages. Now, this won't be the Lord's Prayer line by line and far from a comprehensive look at prayer. But it's good regularly as a church just to come back to this wonderful, glorious gift of being able to talk to God and reflect on how it is we go about it. And on this Pentecost Sunday, in the middle of lockdown living, perhaps God by his Spirit wants to bring greater depth to our relationship with him. So from the setting of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew's Gospel and reflecting also on others' practical wisdom about prayer, these 3 weeks are just three simple, big ideas to stimulate and stir us in our own praying lives. Jean read from Matthew's Gospel, in which Jesus teaches about prayer in the Sermon on the Mount in chapters 5 to 7. Now, the Sermon on the Mount is more than just some good moral teaching about how we should live. A great theme of it is Jesus showing how even the most religious people, the Pharisees, even how their observance of God's law isn't enough to get them into the kingdom of heaven. The law is so demanding, the holiness of God so perfect, that we all of us fall short. What we need is not more religion, simply more human effort to get it right. What we need is one who has come to fulfill the law on our behalf. We need to know and trust the one who does fulfill the law, who is perfect, and who can bring us into a relationship with our holy and loving Heavenly Father. So at the heart of the Sermon on the Mount is the good news that it's not so much about religion, but about a relationship with our Father through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Intriguingly, you can also see the Sermon on the Mount with an Abba structure, a bit like we saw in Ruth, although quite a lot more complicated with a lot more letters than just A and B. But in the very middle, at the very heart of it, is the Lord's Prayer. At the heart of the Sermon on the Mount is relationship with our Father through Jesus. And at the heart of that relationship is prayer. And so this week's takeaway is this. Prayer is not about religion, but it's about relationship. It's not about religion, it's about relationship. As Jesus teaches about prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 8, before he introduces the Lord's Prayer, he's keen to point out what prayer is not. Now, it's not about putting on a religious mask. That's where the word hypocrite comes from. An actor who puts on a mask to pretend to be someone who they're not. Someone who, no matter their genuine relationship with God, says all the right things for others to hear. We struggle with prayer, don't we? But we want to convince ourselves and others, even God, that we're good, religious prayers. We put on a mask. We hide behind prayer jargon, words we never normally use and don't understand always, but I mean, they sound right, don't they? We pray with others, but we spend most of the time not actually echoing what they are praying and saying, but constructing our own prayer to sound good. We score the number of mmms and yes, Lords we get during a prayer. And we must be okay because others have appreciated it. But that's your full reward, says Jesus. Some amens. But were you actually speaking to God? Prayer isn't ultimately for the audience of other people to hear and praise you for it. Prayer is ultimately for the audience of one. And if we're those who think we can't pray like that person, I'm not good enough to come up with the right words, God wouldn't listen to me, aren't we also making prayer out to be some sort of religious skill to impress? Something we've got to be good enough at? A mask we have to put on? Not instead something at the heart, the expression of a relationship with a gracious, come to me, you who are weary, love. And prayer's not about our religious effort to be heard. Sometimes we think that prayer is some sort of technique that gets God's response if and only if we do it right and for long enough. The right phrases that we can maybe repeat until we feel we've meant them enough. If we could only be passionate enough in our voice, if we could only just squeeze our eyes and our hands enough together, if we just keep on going until we can't anymore. If we just find the right words, say Jesus' name enough, feel sorry enough, sound desperate enough, if we spend long enough. But What is a decent, God-pleasing length of time in prayer? 2 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour, 2 hours? How long do we keep going, throwing out words and phrases before we're satisfied we're really connected, he's really listening, and something might actually come out of this? Hold on, says Jesus. Prayer isn't like some machine where you put in enough of the right coins and pull the lever and the prize comes out. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a real place for set words and prayers, for fervent passion and emotion, for routines and disciplines and perseverance. Absolutely. But all of these things as reflections on what prayer truly is at heart. Children talking with a loving father. Prayer is talking honestly with our loving Heavenly Father. Yes, we come as mortal beings before an immortal Creator in worship. We come as servants before the King of Kings in reverence and honour. We come as sinners before a holy God in humility. But as Jesus teaches, as he teaches us to pray, he teaches us that through him, we come as children to a loving Heavenly Father. Verse 6, your Father. Your Father, again in verse 6. Your Father, verse 8. Our Father, verse 9. Our Father, who sees and knows us and our needs better than we know ourselves, who is listening not because we're good enough or managing to hit all the right buttons, but because we are his beloved children. Is there any more profound truth to grasp about prayer? So we come like little children to a dad, without pretense, without a mask, snotty-nosed, arms open, honest and free, to the Father who knows us inside out and faithfully loves us, despite who we are and what we've done. That's why Jesus urges us into the room behind the closed door in secret, so that without the distraction of an audience or the temptation to put on a mask, we might openly talk with our Father. Jesus isn't saying here that all prayer must be done in private, that there's no such thing as public prayer, praying out loud in church or in small groups or in prayer groups. Nor is he saying that in leading public prayer and praying in groups, we don't have to think about other people there and the words we use. Of course we do, as we help lead others in prayer. But Jesus is simply getting to the heart of what prayer is. Openly speaking with the Father who loves us, and of a genuine relationship with God, unmasked and honest. The practical truth of our relationship with our Father is all about what happens in that secret room when it's just us and God. The preacher Robert Murray McShane once said this: what someone is alone on their knees before God, that they are and no more. And that is heart-searching for all of us. But focusing on this relationship, says Jesus, is rewarded. And it's rewarded by a deepening relationship. In this book I'm reading, A Praying Life by Paul Miller, Paul writes that a praying life is like dinner with good friends. And that's a poignant illustration in these days, isn't it? He says that when we have great times with good friends over dinner, and that's actually a biblically based picture of enjoying God, when we do that, we don't put on a mask with our friends. We don't overthink our communication or words. Instead, what we think about is the people we're talking with and having a good time with them. And the ultimate aim is not simply to satisfy ourselves that we have some good friends or to put a picture on Facebook to show others we've got some good friends, but to enjoy those friends more and more and to have a deepening relationship with them. The real reward of dinner with friends is their deeper friendship with us. If prayer is fundamentally about relationship with our Father through Jesus, it's going to lead to a growing dependency on Him, a deepening, loving relationship with Him, a greater delight in Him, and assurance that we are His beloved children. Prayer is where we come and we talk to our loving, listening Heavenly Father and enjoy and deepen our relationship with Him. And Johnny illustrated it beautifully the other week in our prayer video as he talked about a parent and child spending quality time together. Paul Miller writes again, and I quote, "Oddly enough, many people struggle to learn how to pray because they're focusing on praying, not on God. Making prayer the centre is like making conversation the centre of a family mealtime. In prayer, focusing on conversation is like trying to drive while looking at the windscreen instead of through it. It freezes us, making us unsure of where to go." Prayer itself, the conversation, the mechanics of talking, it is not at the centre of prayer. That's religion. And religion is what leaves us spiritually dry and ultimately prayerless, when it's all about whether I've prayed enough and I never have. But our Father is actually at the centre of prayer. A deepening relationship of getting to know and enjoy Him and know His Spirit working in us, making us more like Jesus. But there is another reward of talking to our Father. It also involves us in our Father's business. One of the differences between even the best earthly fathers and our Heavenly Father is that God is able not just to comfort us, but to do anything. When we ask Him, He answers. And sometimes things can really happen in our world. Now, God knows everything before we ask, and He acts according to His will. So it's not as if when I pray for Billy in hospital, God says, "Oh, thanks very much. I'd forgotten all about Billy and I've never thought of doing that." And yet, Jesus teaches that while the Father knows what we need before we ask and is sovereign over all, yet still, He wants us to ask and talk to Him about it. It's not that God needs us to pray. Whether we pray or not, God's appointed ends happen. We can do nothing to stop them or better them. But in this great mystery of prayer, we can choose to be part of the amazing things that He is doing in us, in other people, and in our world. In seeing in big ways and small, God's name being hallowed, His kingdom coming, His will being done. The choice not to pray doesn't stop God doing what God was always going to do. God isn't thwarted or frustrated by our prayerlessness, but we are. Because it's a choice not to depend on God, not to seek to deepen the relationship, not to seek the reward of being part of what he calls us to be involved in with him. We can speculate around the mysteries of how our prayer would or wouldn't have affected the situation, but the one stark truth we know is that if we didn't pray, we chose not to get involved in what our loving Father was doing and not to seek the joyful reward of seeing something happen after we prayed. God calls us as his children also to be his partners in prayer, to have a God-given part to play in our Father's business, in seeing him work marvellously in the world around us. Prayer isn't a religious activity we just have to get better at. It's opening up, unmasked, to speak with the Father who loves us because of Jesus. It's at the heart of our deepening relationship with God and our involvement in his purposes. Perhaps even this weekend, by God's Spirit, you've been moved to encounter God, enjoy his presence, and join him in his work. Amen.
Let's pray together. Lord God, creator and sustainer of everything, you are awesome in power, yet our loving Father and gentle Saviour. And we worship you and bring to you the glory and honour that are due to your name. Lord, we praise you as we reflect on your amazing love and thank you for the blessings that you give to us, providing for our daily needs and sustaining us, protecting us and shielding us. Lord, even when we face trials, we know that you are always with us, that you never leave us, not even for a moment, that you are always good and always sovereign. Lord, we thank you that no matter how many times we keep letting you down, you pick us up and you put us back on the path, that through Jesus' death we find forgiveness and through his life hope in you, covered by your mercy and your grace. And as we've been thinking this morning about the gift of your Holy Spirit, we thank you that your Spirit lives in us as your children, guiding us, comforting us, moulding us and transforming us into the likeness of Jesus, equipping us to live and speak for you in this world. And Lord, we thank you that you know our deepest longings and that when we don't have the words to say as we come to you in prayer, that the Spirit speaks for us and intercedes for us. So Lord, as we come before your throne of grace to bring you our prayers for others, we do so with confidence, trusting that you're listening and that you will answer in your will and in your time. Lord, help us to be bold in our prayers, yet humble as we wait for your answers. Lord, today we pray for our world, for all who are sick, for those we know personally and those we just hear about, for those suffering from the effects of coronavirus and those who are ill for so many other reasons. Lord, we ask that you would bring a miracle of healing to tired bodies and minds, that you would restore health and energy and life. And we ask, Lord, that you would give those who are caring for the sick, whether at home or in hospital, wisdom in their decision making and skill and compassion in their care and protection from harm. Lord, for those who are lonely, who feel lost, for those who are hurting, for those who are grieving, for those who are worried for the future, Lord, we ask that you would bring comfort to them And at a time when we can't hug each other freely, we pray that they would feel your arms of love around them. And Lord, we pray too that you would show us how to show your love in practical ways at this time, when so many of our normal expressions of care are disrupted. Lord, we pray for our leaders in our government, that they would make good, clear, wise decisions about the future of our society over the next while, and that you would give them strength for this journey and help as they communicate to us the plans for the future. And Lord, we pray for our leaders in church as well, for Ben and Johnny and Jill, and for the Kirk session here in Sinfield Road, as they lead us and prepare for the future of our church, for your church. And this week, we pray especially for David Brace as he begins his term as moderator of PCI tomorrow. Lord, we ask that you would protect him, give him wisdom as he speaks and leads, and help him to be a positive voice for you in our land. Lord, we thank you that this weekend as a church, we have been able to share together in prayer, that we've been able to come to you in ones and twos or as small groups, to share in worship from our homes, to meet together virtually while apart, and to continue to be your church in this place. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being able to speak to you, our Father, any time, any place, about anything, and that we can listen for your voice. Lord, I ask that you would help us to listen to you. And I thank you that you, our God, are not distant, but you are right here with us and in us, and that we can know you personally, trust you completely, and call you Father. Lord, as we've been thinking about prayer and the prayer that you taught us to pray, we ask that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And we bring our requests to you in the name of Jesus, your Son and our Saviour. Help us, Lord, to live by faith and not by sight, and to know and trust that in Christ and through you, all things are possible. Amen.
Oh,
forget the coffee and catch-up time coming right up on Zoom. But now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen.